tombstones. Think about what you want written on your tombstone. Here are some options. You love bacon. Oh, and his wife and kids.
Oh, yes, that's me.
That's mine. Here's another option. Yeah. Died from not forwarding that text message to 10 people.
Is that really for real?
I guess it's for real. I guess so. I mean, I found it on the internet, so it must be true.
It's on the internet.
That's Abraham.
It's on the internet, so. Here lies Charlotte Eves. She lived each day as if it were her last, especially this one.
That's funny. That's awesome.
Steve Jobs, slide to unlock.
That's terrible.
Too soon?
Yeah.
Here's my personal favorite.
I told you.
Now, anybody else have something that you've ever thought, man, this is what I really want on my tombstone. Anything funny that you've ever heard and thought, that'd be pretty good. Anybody?
6'8", in case you're wondering.
6'8", in case you're wondering. Anybody else?
Wait, I got one.
Okay.
I'm dead, now you can party.
I'm dead, now you can party. Why can't we party now?
Because whoever's in the grave is a
party. You think people would be happy that you're dead? Nobody.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
If they would be, then point them out, and I will send them right now.
That's sad.
Okay, now...
You must be happy, because I'm happy.
Give me some serious ones, though. What is something that you would like to see on your tombstone? Think about what is the reputation that you would like to be remembered for forever. Something that you would like to see on your tombstone and that said, he did this or she did this. So you want that to be the summary of your life. Any ideas of what you might want?
Died for Christ.
Did he what?
He died for Christ.
He died for Christ. That'd be pretty cool. Anybody else?
He loved others more than himself.
He loved others more than himself. What else? There's no wrong answers here. And we're not going to hold you to this. What would you like to be said about you after you die?
Here lies a life dedicated to Christ.
Here lies a life dedicated to Christ. A life that was dedicated to Christ. That's good. I need two more.
If you're looking for me, you're looking the wrong direction.
That's good. Think about what you want your whole life to be remembered by. Something that you want to do with your life.
Christ-like?
Yeah. Right on. Well, I want us to start thinking about the finish, the end, this morning, this evening. So, with that in mind, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Thank you.
And you might be thinking, why is he talking about tombstones? I'm in middle school, I'm in high school, this is like forever away from me. But I want us to focus on the finish now. And that's what I think chapter 7 verse 1 is about. Focus on the finish now. And then verses 2 through 4 is about staying focused on the finish daily. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here with brothers and sisters in Christ and to know that you are here with us. So, Lord God, we want to hear from you. Will you speak to us from your heart, to our heart, and would you help us to not be distracted? Give us ears to hear. Speak through your word and through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Ecclesiastes 7:1. A good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth. Okay, what do you see there? Anything repeated?
Better.
Yeah, you see the word better. And he's starting right here, and you're going to see this a lot. It's a very proverbial kind of a thing to say, this is better than this, and this is better than this. So he's giving us some proverbs, some wisdom, and this is the first one in a list of them. And what does he say is better than something else? What does he say?
A good name
is better than fine perfume. Okay, so what do you think he means by name? Is he saying, like, okay, Eric and Sam are good names, and if your names are Buford or Gertrude, then you got a bad name, and I just hope you got a good name from your parents. Is that what he's talking about?
No.
What's he talking about?
Reputation.
Yeah. Your reputation, right? He's talking about your reputation. You tell me, what gives you a good reputation? If somebody has a good reputation, what are some words that you would use to describe someone who has a good reputation?
Talented.
Trustworthy. Kind.
Loving.
What?
A good friend.
Genuine.
A good friend. Peaceful.
Putting
others before yourself.
Humility.
Honest. Man, these would have been a lot of good things to put on a tombstone, wouldn't it? These are good character qualities. This is what makes up a good reputation. And now look what he says. A good name is better than fine perfume. Now, what he's doing here is actually a play on words in Hebrew. This is Shem, okay? That means name or reputation, okay? And then you've got Shemin, okay? So look, they're like the same word almost, Shem and Shemin. And he's saying, it's better to have a Shem than a Shemin. And this is perfume. And this is one of those things, like, when people get old, they can just, like, drop these sayings that are like, oh, that's so confusing. It must be deep and profound. And it sounds like he's using these words as it's a wordplay. These words that sound almost the same, but you know they have very different meanings. So what is he saying right here? What's he trying to say? It's better to have a Shem than a Shemin. And he's saying it's better to have a good name than to have perfume. And we're about to go, oh, I see what you did there. Words that are almost the same, but totally different. So how are those two things different? How is a good name different than perfume? How are they different?
Perfume is temporary.
Huh?
Perfume is temporary.
Oh, snap. Temporary.
Oh, geez.
Temporary. I'm going to say temporal. Temporal.
That's not a word.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And a good name is eternal.
Perfume is
just a thing. It's just a thing. I'm going to say that it's
material. And what would be the opposite of material? Immaterial, spiritual, something like that. I'm going to say immaterial.
Sure, why not?
Immaterial. What else?
It's not real, as in, like, it's just to cover up something, like.
To cover up something. So I'm going to say external. Right? Is that the same? Did I stretch what you were trying to say too much? External, internal. Okay? And he's saying that this is better than this. Okay? Better to have a good name, because that's eternal, it's immaterial, it's internal, and let's see. Here's another thing about perfume. Perfume, if you had a fine perfume, what does that mean you have a lot of?
Rich.
Yeah. You're rich, you have a lot of money. So perfume is, I'll say riches. And then over here I'm going to say that a good name is related to true riches. Because you're tapping into the character of Jesus Christ. So, we want to have a good name, and that's better than having riches or perfume. And think about, like you said, it's just a cover-up, okay? Have you ever been sitting next to a middle school boy who has not showered but has just thrown that perfume on top, the Axe, and just always Axe? So you catch a hint of a perfume, a cologne, like you get a hint of, like when you smell, you, for about a millisecond, you go, oh, that's nice. And then you're like punched with this this BO, and you just can't stand. That's what perfume does. It just addresses the external. And a good name is your internal character. And it's much better to have that than external stuff or riches. Proverbs 22:1, write down PR 22:1. It says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed, meaning to have a good reputation, is better than silver or gold. So it's better to have a good reputation than riches. Can you give me some reasons why you would rather have a good name than riches?
Real name, you have real friends.
Okay.
Good name, you have.
Good, good name. Name,
like God will, like in heaven or whatever, he'll like, you know, make you known or whatever. Not make you known. Sorry.
You can please God.
Yeah.
With a good name, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Because when you're not riches, I just are nothing anymore.
Yeah. I'll take it with you.
Can't make you leave naked.
That's right. As you entered, so you will leave. That's right. Let me tell you why I think our reputation is so important. Did you know that your reputation points to Jesus? Your reputation points to the reputation of Jesus. Because hopefully the people around you know that you go to Link, and that you go to church, and that you're a Christian, and that you believe in Jesus. And let me say it like this. Would you buy diet pills from a 300-pound man? I wouldn't either. This is a large man saying, I have something that can help you. And you look at the pills, and then you look at him, and you think, it has made no difference in you. Why would I take it for me? And when we tell people about Jesus, we're saying there is power in Jesus. He can change you. He can change your situation, but it'll probably change you first. And if you say that and then they watch you and you wallow in the same sins and defeat as everyone else, and you laugh at all the same jokes, you do the same stuff with your boyfriend and girlfriend, you talk back to teachers and coaches just as much as everybody else, and then you say, man, Jesus is awesome. He changes everything. And then they look at you and they go, you say it's going to change everything, but I look at you and you look no different than everybody else in the world. So no thank you. So our reputation matters because it points to the reputation of Jesus. Our reputation is important. Now look at the second half of that verse. A good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth. Okay, first of all, that word "and," in some translations it actually says likewise or in the same way, because he's actually comparing the first part of the verse with the second part of the verse. So, in the same way that a name is better than perfume, in the same way, then this day is better than that day. Okay? And let's see how they're connected. What are the 2 days he's talking about? Day of your death, day of your birth. And he says the day of death is better. So, does this seem like an oxymoron or the opposite of what you would think to anyone? Tell me why. Clay, tell me, why does that seem weird?
Because generally when people die, it's a sad event.
You generally think that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
And that birth is better than death. And Solomon says, no, death is better. The day of death is better than the day of death is better than the day of birth. Well, what does he mean by that? Now remember, he's talking in context of your reputation. So let me ask you this question. Who has a better reputation? A 2-year-old who's been living his whole life in obedience to Jesus, or a 90-year-old who has been living their life in complete obedience to Jesus? Who has a better reputation? Okay, so this is not a cut and dry question. I was going to say a 90-year-old. Because you see this 2-year-old baby, and you might think, oh, he's pretty cute, and he's drooling all over himself, that's great, awesome. All right. Or even you fast forward that a little bit to a 16-year-old man or woman that's given their life completely to Jesus, living for him, completely sold out. You don't know what's going to happen with their life 5 years down the road. Have y'all seen, do y'all know anybody, have y'all ever seen this happen where they start out on fire for the Lord and then they just cool off and they go off and do their own thing? Has anyone ever seen that happen? Mm-hmm. If you haven't yet, you will. It happens. So you have a better, more proven reputation at the end of your life when you've finished as strong as you started. Because a lot of times people can get off to a good start and then fade and get off track real quick. I ran a half marathon once, and I'll tell y'all the whole story someday, but I just want to tell you about the finish of it, because I just decided I'm just going to keep my feet moving the whole time, and I finally finished, and I just barely crossed. Like I looked like I was about to collapse as I crossed. And my twin brother ran, but he stopped and walked like 2 miles in the middle. So then at the end, he had all this energy, and he was sprinting across, and they have the line of people cheering him on, and he's going, yeah, come on, and finishes strong, you know. So my sons come up to me afterwards, and they say, Dad, Uncle Joey did better than you. And I'm like, come on, that was like 30 minutes later, you know. But, so it did, okay, this is a dumb example, because he looked like he finished strong, but he actually didn't finish strong. But look, we need to finish strong in our walk with the Lord. A good reputation right now is good. A good reputation at the end of your life, of a life lived in faithfulness, is better. Your reputation at the end matters. And when death comes and it's on that tombstone, there's some finality there of who you were and what your reputation is. Okay. This is going to be the most awesome paper airplane you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is gonna hit the sink over there. Ready? Okay, pretty close. All right. Now, let me ask you a question. When is the best time for me to do a better job of building that airplane? Is it right now?
No.
Or is it... When is it?
Huh?
Would it be better for me to modify that airplane and make it the best it could possibly be before I throw it?
Oh, yeah.
After I throw it? Or during flight?
Before.
Okay, the best time to give it the best start is at the beginning. Okay, so what I'm saying is if y'all want to have a strong finish and a good reputation, the time to change your focus is right now. Do you see what I'm saying? If you want to be at the end of your life and say on your tombstone, Christ-like, loved others more than himself, was passionately in love with Jesus Christ, the time to put that into motion is right now. And you can have a good reputation that points to the reputation of Jesus. But I'll tell you this. If you decide you're going to change your focus and focus on Jesus Christ right now, I'll give you a warning. There's going to be many times when you're going to be sidetracked and tempted to pull off of that goal, of that focus on Jesus Christ. And verses 2 through 4 tell us how to get regular reminders to get back on track and to stay focused. It's going to tell us how to stay focused on the finish daily. And basically, he's going to tell us the best way to do that is to be a funeral crasher. And if you don't believe me, look at what it says, verse 2. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Okay, so, I'm going to erase this. Thought I would. What do you think a place of mourning or a house of mourning, what do you think's going on there?
Crying.
They're crying? Why do you think they're crying? Why do you think they're sad?
Someone has passed away.
Someone has passed away. Okay, so here's a place of mourning. Or a place of what?
Feasting.
Feasting. So we're going to say that the mourning is a funeral. And that's M-O-U-R, not M-O-R. Mourning. Funeral. And what would you call this? A place of feasting? Let me tell you, there's also... this word feasting is usually involves drinking, heavy drinking. So what's a one word you would use to describe
party.
Bar? Huh?
Party.
I'm going to say party. Now, a lot of times we can party like Jesus and it doesn't always have to be stupid. But for right now, let's just say funeral or party. And which one, he uses that word better again, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Which one's better to be at?
Mourning.
Mourning. He's saying it's better to be in a house of mourning than a house of feasting, which is just kind of crazy. Do you know why? Why would he say it's better to be in a house of mourning?
It makes you stronger.
Makes you stronger. Oh, that's a good one. What else?
Gives you a reputation. It adds to your reputation.
Adds to your reputation? I don't know. Any other guesses? Let's look at what Solomon says. The next word is the word for, which means if you're asking a question why... 4 says, here's the explanation. I'm going to answer the question why it's better to be at a funeral. For death is the destiny of every man. Okay, so death is the destiny. Destiny means it's an unavoidable goal in reality. That is the end and you can't get out of it. It's your destiny. And for how many people is this the destiny? What does it say?
Everyone.
Every man. Every man or woman. Every single person. So he's saying it's good to go to a funeral. Why?
To recognize that it's your destiny.
To recognize it's your destiny. To be reminded life is short. To be reminded that death is real for everyone. And what does he say we're supposed to do with that information? He says the living, meaning while, before you die, while you still can, if you're living, you should do what? Take it to heart. What does that mean? How would you say that in your own words? Take it to heart. What's he saying?
Ponder it. Really think about it.
Really think about it. Ponder it.
Remember it.
Remember it. Yeah, all good words. Take it seriously. And do you think if you take something to heart, does it just stay up in your head or does it change how you live? It's going to change how you live if you really take it to heart, isn't it? So he says it's good to be at a funeral, to be reminded of your destiny. Have any of you ever been to a funeral? Raise your hand. So somebody tell me, what is being at a funeral, what does it make you think about?
The person's life.
Their life, right? What else?
Dying yourself. Just like.
Dying yourself, yeah.
Or your family.
Or your family.
Life,
huh?
Is short.
Life is short.
It's unexpected.
Sometimes. It's unexpected. If it could be unexpected for them, it might be unexpected for me. For anybody. That life is short. Mm-hmm. He says it's good to go to a funeral and to take it to heart that this is a reality for all of us. And so, verse 3 and 4 kind of repeat the same idea. Look at verse 3. It says, sorrow is better than laughter because a sad face is good for the heart. So, there's that word better again, right? What does he say is better in that verse?
Sorrow
is better than laughter. Sorrow is better than laughter. Why? Because a sad face is good for the heart. How is a sad face good for the heart?
Brings you closer to the Lord.
Brings you closer to the Lord. Brings you closer to your the reality. That's true. Okay, look at verse 4. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. But, that means what when you see that word?
Contrast.
But, the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. So, two different kind of hearts. What kind of heart?
Wise.
And where do I put the wise heart? Yeah, yeah. Wise. And a fool's heart is at a party. Okay. And it says again, the house of what?
Mourning.
Mourning. I'm going to write mourning again. And what goes on the other side?
Pleasure.
Pleasure. You would think that this would be the place to be. Feasting, laughter. Well, maybe not that part. But pleasure. But he's saying no. The place of wise people go is a place of mourning, sorrow, mourning, sadness. Be reminded, life is short. Got no guarantees. The end is certain. We just don't know when. And notice it says, it doesn't say that the wise person is in the house of mourning. What does it say?
His mind.
The heart.
The heart of the wise. Or you might say mind. Some translations will say that. So I wonder if that might mean he's not actually saying always be at funerals. Maybe he's saying something about our state of mind. What do you think he might be saying about our state of mind?
Look above the sun.
Okay, look above the sun, because he says under the sun, right? Be thinking about God, be thinking about eternal reality. But if he's saying the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, maybe he's not saying, go look in the newspaper and Google where all the funerals are and go to all these places of mourning. If he's saying, the heart of the wise is in the house of the mourning, what's he saying we should be thinking about?
Eternity.
Eternity. Yeah. We should be thinking about funeral kind of things. We should be thinking always about life is short. I better make the most of every minute. Life is short for me. Life is short for every other person. I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know when they're going to die. So I need to make the most of every single minute. So if you want to stay focused on the finished, then remember how it's all going to end. And how is it all going to end? When we die, what's going to happen? When humans die, what happens? How's it all going to end? Judgment. There's two possible eternities for every single soul. Heaven and hell. That's the reality. That's the end. That's what we need to keep in mind. But sometimes, guys, we get caught up in a different reality that doesn't help us think about the end. Sometimes we get caught up when we start indulging in the cotton candy pleasure of the world. Sometimes it can blind our thinking and get us off track. And it can confuse us and make us forget what our purpose here is on planet Earth. You know what it reminds me of? Reminds me of the Lotus Casino and Percy Jackson. When they took the Lotus cookie. Take a look.
It's their signature dish.
Oh, really signature. Is it good?
Thank you.
Yo, do we have to pay for this?
Yes, we don't.
It's free.
That's really good.
Wow, this is the most delicious thing I've ever consumed.
But we're on a time sensitive mission right now. Aren't we?
I can't remember.
I totally forgot what I was going to say.
I think I figured it out. I think I know why we're here.
Why are we here?
To have fun.
Okay. Let's never leave. Let's stay here.
So, when they indulge in the cotton candy pleasure of their world, it got in their mind. It made them completely forget what they were focused on. Made them completely forget their mission. They were on a time-sensitive mission, just like you and I are. And they completely forgot about it. And they got this wrong idea in their head that the reason they're here is to have fun. And sometimes we buy into that lie, don't we? Sometimes we get to drinking the Kool-Aid and listening to what everyone else are thinking, that having other people think we're cool and having other people like us and to enjoy our time here on Earth, that that's our mission. And when we start eating that, we totally forget about the fact that we are on a time-sensitive mission. The time is sensitive because we never know when we're going to die, or when anyone else around us is going to die, and we have someone to tell them about. That's our mission. We can choose to live a life of deception, of fantasy, of indulgence, of self, or we can choose to live a life of reality. And of mission. Of the mission that we're on. Do you guys know we're on a mission? Here's the reality. Forget about what you get from TV, from friends. Here's the reality. Jesus is king. Satan rebelled and started a counter kingdom. Jesus came down on the cross. And when he rose from the dead, he conquered Satan and his kingdom. However, we have a mission to stamp out the resistance. What I mean by that is Satan is defeated, but there are still powers and forces at work, and we go around in the victory of Jesus Christ to stamp out the resistance. Some of you history buffs know that World War II, the decisive battle, was D-Day on the beach of Normandy when they won this big battle. But there were still pockets of Germans holding the good guys hostage, and we still had some work to do to go out and to stamp out evil and to free captives. That's you and I. Satan is beaten. But you and I have work to do. To go and free the captives and tell them the victory is won. That Jesus Christ lives. And He died for them and rose again and now He's alive. That's our mission. That's what we got to be focused on. Not anything else. So, call me morbid, but I hope you think about your death, and I hope you think about it often. I hope you think about what's going to be on your tombstone. I hope you think about if you're on mission, on God's mission of seeking and saving the lost, or if you're buying some lie and making your life about fun or some other shallow cotton candy pleasure that just will not satisfy. Death helps us think about what's important and reminds us of the meaningless of life here on earth without Jesus. So yeah, I hope you think about it often. Lord Jesus, we love You. We thank You. And we praise You as our King. We know You have conquered the biggest enemy that any of us can ever imagine. So we know that we can go in Your strength to free the captives. And what all I mean by that is tell people who don't know You about You. Help us to do that. Help us to not be distracted. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go to small groups.
Thank you.
Ow! This is the world. Say bye.